This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
On KISW, we return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
A question, who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
I think the first time I realized I was being surveilled, I didn't realize it at the time. My mother actually called into the show with this story, but guy across the street gets divorced from his wife, and a shocking development, the wife got the house. So she starts getting rid of his crap. But my brother alerts me, I'm maybe 10 years old, so he's about 15. He's like, "Hey, man. We knew they were getting a divorce, and we just saw at the door a bunch of trash bags lined up for trash to pick up. It was all the paper grocery bags." And he's like, "Listen, man, they're full of Playboys." I'm like, "What do you mean they're full of Playboys?" He's like, "Every single bag out there," and I'm sure I'm remembering this wrong because I was a kid, but it seemed endless. But he's like, "All these bags have Playboys." I'm like, "Okay, we understand what the plan is." So we started borrowing the paper grocery bags from our own kitchen, go down this long driveway, and we'd load up our bags, come back with the porn, go straight to our rooms, and hide it wherever the kids are going to hide, you know, porn in your closet and all this stuff. The following day, when I get home from school, my mother's up my ass. She immediately comes down to your bedroom, opens up this big trunk in the closet, and it is laden with porn, right? Mostly Playboy, a couple penthouses, a few Hustler magazines. No idea how she figured this out. And when my brother gets home from school, like maybe 15 minutes later, "Adrian, get your ass down here." Same thing. And I don't remember where he stashed his. I think his were under his bed, the other great kid hiding spot. And we had to throw out all this porn. And we're devastated, man, because we hadn't even really gotten a chance to really get into it, you know. So, and we could, for years, we could never figure out. And we're like, "Is mom snooping around the house? Because there's other crap, you know, that you hide from your parents." She didn't bring up any of that stuff. So I couldn't understand it. Then years later, she explained, she's like, "Well, you got to understand, you and Adrian, you're what we call dumbasses. I'm standing in the kitchen washing dishes, and our front door is directly below the kitchen window. And I watched you guys walk down the driveway, and you kept coming to me asking me for more paper bags." I don't remember saying this. My mother said that when she asked why we needed these, we were, quote, "collecting pine cones for her." So she goes, "Oh, I did not ask you to do that, but I thought it's one of those sweet, stupid things the kids do." So whatever. She goes, "But you were at this for like 45 minutes. And at this point, we lived in the woods, so there's no shortage of pine cones. I mean, there's pine cones every freaking where." And she's like, "I'm watching you guys go down the street, and you guys walk back with these full paper bags, kind of folded up top, and you disappear in your bedroom." She thought that was a little strange that we were going to keep pine cones in our respective bedrooms, but whatever. So like, I let it go for like another 15 minutes, but you guys wouldn't stop. And then like the fourth time, you guys like, "Hey, Mom, do you have more paper bags?" And she's like, "This doesn't make sense. So I let you guys do whatever it is you're doing. And then when we're in our rooms, and I'm sure we're both masturbating at this point, but she said, you guys disappear in your rooms. I walked down the driveway to see why are you getting pine cones from the street as opposed to the yard where they're everywhere. I see these bags. I don't know what's in them. I peek in there, and she's like, you guys left maybe 6 Playboys total. And there, I mean, there had to be 120 of these things. So I see, like, these 6 Playboys in there. So I knew what was up. It's like, your father gets home from work. I'm freaking out talking to him. And it's like, look, they're young men. They want to see boobs. You know, just chill out. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to them about it, you can. But it's a, this is a crime of opportunity, you know, whatever the deal is. So she waited until the next day and buzzed. And it's humiliating, right? Because, I mean, everyone knows why you have a porn magazine. You're not reading the articles. We understand. So it's already uncomfortable. But, yeah, she waited years to tell us, like, I watched you. And I let you guys finish whatever it was you guys were doing. I did not know what it was. But when I pieced it together, like, she freaked out. We had to throw out all of our porn, man.
Who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-RON.
I mean, when I was a kid, I was convinced my Aunt Barbara had eyes in the back of her head. Now, as an adult, I just realized how loud we were and not smooth about whatever it is we thought we were getting away with.
Here's the thing about kids. Kids, one, they whisper louder than they talk, right? So when they don't want you to hear something, they're still whispering this loud. And you're like, I can hear your conversation. But also, kids have no concept of your peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Right? So just because you're standing beside me and not in front of me does not mean I do not know what you're doing. And my son was like 3 years old. I'm cooking in the kitchen. He does not know what hot is. He's heard us warn us about what hot is, but you don't know what hot is until you experience hot, right? So yeah. He's looking at the stove, and there's an electric burner, so the one coil was still red. He's eyeing it down, and I said, hey, man, back away from that. It's hot. Whatever you do, don't touch that. And I go back to, like, cutting food or whatever. And like I said, he's standing beside me. I can see him. And I see his little finger going up. And I could have stopped him. But I'm like, I'm not going to. I see his little finger touch the red thing. And then at the speed of lightning, I see his hand snap back toward his body. And I put down my knife. I looked at him. I said, do not cry. I literally just told you not to touch it. Do you know what hot is now? Yes. Okay. Well, don't That's touch hot. It again. Now you know.
It's like watching him eat something spicy. Yeah, like, oh, I like spicy.
Okay.
Right, try it.
I'm just going to watch. I'm not going to say it not to. I'm going to watch this.
Who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kenny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hey, okay. So this is back in 88. My son was 3 at the time. And we had that big sectional couch stuff. And I mean, it was huge with the bottom cushions, the back cushions, side cushions everywhere, right? And once a week or whatever, my son would say, Dad, let's make bed on the floor. And we'd make bed on the floor, watch movies, have him go to sleep.
Why do kids love that so much? Why
is
sleeping on the floor is one of the most important things to a child?
Plus, you're young enough where it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
We had a good time watching Monday Night Football and stuff. Anyways, this one Saturday night, whatever night it was, Mom checks, I check. It's about 10 o'clock. We think he's asleep. She checks again. I think he's asleep. She checks, I check. And so we go way over. And I mean, way over. This thing is huge, again, on the floor. We're way over. Dad's on top, and we're getting busy, right? And after about 5 or 7 minutes, I feel this little hand on my left shoulder. I whip my head. And here's my 3-year-old. He had crawled over to right next to us. He's 2 feet away. He leans in. He puts about 6 inches. That's enough, Dad. Off, Mom. Grabs the
phone.
Damn. Back to his spot and goes to sleep.
Oh, isn't that cute?
That's definitely a mood
killer. He was just trying to keep you, you know, maybe from getting a brother or sister.
Well, yeah, well, maybe he should have tried a little harder because the second was conceived around then. So
I know. I never.
Do you think that was the moment that it happened?
Yeah. When I do the math, it's close. I don't know. It's close.
I never got busted by my kids.
Yeah, I never got busted by the kid. They walked in when they were much younger, like right after the fact. And I'm trying to think of the best way to explain this. So we have completed the mission, but the mission has not been completed for long. All right?
All right.
So we're both laying there, but I'm laying on top of her. My daughter climbs into bed and plops down her ass on my ass. So she's like sitting on my back, kind of. Mm-hmm. And me and my wife are both just kind of...
Yeah.
The sensation of that is just, it's more than you can handle. And you can't really say anything. So she just plops down, starts talking. We're both like, baby, give us a couple minutes. We'll come out. We'll make you breakfast. Please. Mm-hmm. Jesus, God.
Pancakes, whatever you want. Who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Rob. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up?
What's up?
So, quick shout out. This is a tribute to my dad, JB. He's a longtime listener. He's called in a few times, and this story also involves him.
Uh-oh.
This was me in my pubescent era, discovering internet porn, and this is back when desktop computers were still a big thing. I think I was about 12, 13 years old. The short story is that my mom, for some reason, you know, she was trying to get a whole bunch of work done on the computer, but she could not get a whole bunch of work done because, well, the computer's running about as slow as molasses for obvious reasons, because I'm over here doing night ops on the desktop while they're downstairs sleeping. So then my dad gets in there after work one day, and I'm outside playing with the neighbor kids, and then he gets in there and he cleans up the computer, and then he sees the browsing history and the cookies and just everything. So needless to say, that was the time that my dad had to have the talk with me, because sure as S, my mom was not going to do that. And so anyway, he calls me in and sits me down, and he's like, look here. He's like, you're 13. I get it. You know, you want to see boobs, as Thrill said before.
Yes.
And you're going to start doing your thing. I don't care. And quite frankly, your mom doesn't even want to know about it. So here's what I'm going to share with you. I'm going to show you how to delete the browsing history and the cookies.
Oh, no way.
And yeah, he showed me how to clean up the computer when I'm done with it.
You know why? He was not really doing this for you. He did not want to deal with your mom. Yeah, man, because your mom would have the meltdown.
100%. And he's like, I don't want to hear your mom bitch to me about the computer running slow again, so I'm going to help us both out here. You can keep doing what you're doing, and now I don't have to clean up your mess. Problem solved.
It's such a ticky-tacky thing when it comes to discovering porn at roughly that age, right? So a lot of times I complain now as an old man, like, kids have it so easy because they can just get porn, right? You just sit down and bang, presto, it's porn. We had to get a plan to get it. Your buddy might have it for 3 days. You got to wait for him. Miles, like you said, you guys would bury it somewhere in the back.
And I mean, it was a stash spot.
It was the whole thing. But here is the difference, all right? So when I got popped for having porn magazines, which happened more than once, maybe three times, it's the magazines are what they are, right? So you'd always have Playboy. You'd have Penthouse. There's Hustler, Wee, Cherry, Jugs, Mayfair. I mean, it didn't matter what anyone looked like. You just wanted to see boobs. But with that, it's slightly less embarrassing because you could grab the Playboy magazine and say, I can't believe you're looking at this. And you go, fine. But you don't know which one of these models really, really speaks to me, right? You just don't know. If you find a Hustler magazine, you can say you like this in general. But there was always one pictorial that you liked better than the other ones you go to. The problem with computer porn for the youngins out there now, like, you have easier access to it. But I know specifically
there's a trail
what you are into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that, to me, is when it gets embarrassing. Everyone will tell you, oh, we like sex. Sure. I like seeing naked bodies. Sure. And people stop about there. They don't start getting into their fetishes. You know what I really like? Well, when you see people's browser's history, like, oh, my God, right? So for all the moms that freaked out back in the day when you find your son with porn magazines, you still don't know. You just know he wanted to see boobs. Now you go onto the computer and it's like, our son is into some really, really weird stuff, but I think it changes maybe the conversation you have to have.
Oh, he's like his dad.
I mean, when I was a senior, we got a printer.
Mm-hmm.
That, now, in retrospect, there was no reason to ever print out these photos, right? But I wanted them.
I understand why, because you want something tactile to take with you on the go.
And the one I left, I must have just gone upstairs while it was still printing or whatever. My brother's like, hey, you left a photo on the printer. And it was definitely a devil's three-way.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I mean.
It was just aggressive. I was like, sorry about that.
And that's what, there's the difference. Like you look at porn, you're looking at porn, and you go like, you're specifically going to this site, and this is what you search out. Like,
I used to put mine in the drop ceiling, too.
Did it work?
In my basement. Yes, there was just, you could just push up one panel and then put the paper up there.
Did you have magazines or was this all printed off?
No, I would just print them off. The only reason I stopped is...
You ran out of ink.
Yeah, we were going through ink at a really fast pace. And it was like, what project? I was like, I don't know. I'm just working on projects.
Right. No project in particular. Yeah.
Who or what was watching you or who or what did you watch 206-803-ROCK?
No, we can't have just black and white ink.
I need magenta.
Right.
I need magenta.
I'm trying to pass this class.
Hello, Antoine. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. Yeah.
So, a little background story. So, I'm a firefighter. We work 24-hour shifts. And last summer, my captain and I in the medic unit went to Dairy Queen, you know, kind of hot day, sitting. We've got a little downtime. So, we're parked in the parking lot. We're waiting for our engine company to join us. And we're backed in. I work in a maybe not-so-great part of town down in Lakewood. And we see this car that's got some foot traffic coming to it. Seems like maybe there's some shady dealings going on there. A couple people come up, buy something and leave. And then out of the passenger seat comes this woman. She goes to the back seat, leans in like she's looking for something. And the guy that's been doing the selling goes right behind her and he hikes up her skirt. And my captain and I look at each other like we can't believe what we're seeing. I'm in doubt. I'm thinking, no way. We're in a public place. He's helping her look for something. Well, no, he wasn't. For the next couple minutes, they proceed to go at it. A couple cars drive by. They're on phase, and they're just going at it. And they stop shortly after our big red fire engine drives right past them. And we're trying to point this out to them. And they're just completely on phase. And once all done, about 5 minutes later, she goes back to the front seat of the car, and they take off.
The old peanut butter puster parfait.
So wait, they were in the car together, but to have sex, they physically got out of the car.
To physically, yeah, absolutely. Backseat, open door in the backseat, and he's standing outside of the car.
That is,
hey, at least stay in the car, man. But I guess, hey, if no one's going to bust you on it.
Yeah, no, it's in, on the back parking lot behind some businesses. I guess there's light foot traffic and light vehicle traffic, but they didn't seem to care very much, and they seemed like they were having a good time.
Well, when the mood hits, right. Sometimes you're like, F it. Hey, though, man, as a firefighter, what are some of the other crazier things that you've seen?
Oh, I mean, we see all kinds of crazy stuff and people calling for some fairly ridiculous things, some pretty like innocuous things, like they can't shut off a faucet in the middle of the night or, you know, all the way to the crazy calls that are kind of tragic where you got a wheel that comes off a semi or a trailer and just crosses the median. I think this one was on the news, actually, just crosses the median and goes clean through the windshield of a van.
Jesus.
Like Final Destination style and kills a couple of people inside. So it's a range of things, really. You never know. That's why I love the job. You never know. But
do you ever have to, like,
interactions are really what makes it.
Like when Miles was young, what, you got your head stuck in the the railing of the stairway?
Of a banister, yeah.
How many calls like that do you think you get in a month? Like Billy has done something stupid, but he can't free himself.
You know, they're actually fairly rare. It's kind of crazy, man. Kids are pretty resilient. I guess it's the parents that freak out most, but yep. kids are pretty resilient overall. But typically when we see a kid call, yeah, it's a minor thing, and it's not terribly bad.
All right, good. Okay. Good. I'm glad. Right?
It's a good thing.
I feel like typically it's not bad. It's just stupid, and it's slightly beyond the parents' ability. Like, so when your head got stuck.
Yeah,
they tried everything to get it out, but they realized the only way getting it out is going to rip your ears off the side of your head, right?
Right, yeah.
So, got to call the fire department.
I think the weirdest, like, I mean, it's obviously just, I've seen some weird stuff in my life, but I truly believe that the one I'll never forget is just getting a vasectomy. Because I was awake, and I was up on my elbows.
So, are you watching them do it, or do they have a screen?
I'm watching them do it. Okay. I mean, I'm looking down, and my whole situation is wide open.
Yeah.
And they are operating on me while I am watching them do this procedure. And I could not, it was just blowing my mind that I could see the inside of myself.
Yeah.
That is weird. It's also my penis.
That specifically.
I'm having a conversation with the doctor at the time, because he was a Washington then commander, season ticket holder.
Okay.
So he's telling me all.
You're talking football.
He's talking football. He has an assistant. They're talking football together. I'm telling them, you know, like at that point in time, that I was excited.
because the Ravens were in town.
Yeah.
And we finally got an NFL team.
Okay, so like, it was back then. All right.
Yeah, they're like, nah, it was like 2001, whatever the deal is. But just to sit there and watch yourself be operated on, have a conversation, not be looped out, not have, you know, I was perfectly normal.
Yeah.
I just had locals and a couple Percocet, and I'm just sitting there. It was insane. Then to watch yourself get stitched up and everything else. I'm just like, this is weird.
How long does the whole process take?
About a half an hour.
All right. So basically, you went in there and talked football with the fellas.
Right.
At the same time, he happened to be operating under penis.
Yeah. It was nuts.
I mean, it was the same thing when I had that giant vein, like varicose vein taken out of my leg. Right? Like
just locals?
Yeah, they just gave me like a, they did local on my leg, and then they gave me like a couple of Valium.
All right.
And then the same thing. You just sit there and BS with them, but it's
they're
awkward.
Operating on you.
Right, and they're tearing out, like taking out like huge piece, and they're like, whoa, that's a big piece. And like you could kind of feel the tug on your skin, but it doesn't like hurt. Yeah. So it's just very strange. Now the next day, all those incisions and everything kind of hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, when you're sitting there, it's surreal. You're just kind of chit-chatting, and then, right, what was it? They were amazed at how big the one was, and the doctor looks at the nurse and is like, don't you have a bartending shift? She's like, I already called. Somebody else is covering it. I got to see this one out.
Oh, geez. Really?
Oh, my God. I got to find those pictures. I mean, then it just looked like a bunch of little white eels in bloody water.
Ugh.
That sounds terrible.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Hungry fella?
Yeah.
Who or what was watching you or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
W. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Tara Daly, Steve Banks from the Daily Banks Morning Show on the way. We will sit and spin. Today we've got 10 songs from one-hit wonder bands. Are they the songs you know? The answer is no. They're another song from a one-hit wonder band.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge is going to be if we can identify said band doing a song that we don't know.
I'm not going to be good at this.
That's coming up with us Sit and Spin right after emails and our question, who or what was watching you or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, guys. So I went down to Sin City. I was house sitting, dog sitting for an uncle of mine. They were going on a cruise over to Hawaii, whatever. I did not know that they had cameras in the house set up so they could check in on the dogs while they're at work or whatever. I'm by myself. I'm walking around the house. I'm in the buff. I'm wearing a birthday suit. And a few days later, when they apparently made landfall in Hawaii, I get a message from my uncle to remind me that there are cameras in the living room and that they saw me beating my meat.
Oh no.
All right.
Oh,
Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, it gets better.
Were you in the living room doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I mean, the dining room, the living room, you name it.
But you got fully naked on their couch?
I mean, I put down a towel. Come on. Hang on.
Once again, men's room colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
All right, Sean, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm your uncle, all right, I'm going to give you the heads up that I don't care if you're beating that thing like it owes you money, but just we can see it happening. But I appreciate you putting the towel down on the sofa because my first thought when you said you're walking around naked in the living room is I would contact you to, like, get your naked ass off of my couch. So
was a dog on the couch with you?
No.
Okay, good.
No, they were out in the backyard.
All right.
I mean, they're pugs. They're weird. I mean, God. But it gets better. So before I get this message from him, my wife comes down to spend the last few days with me. So not only did he see me doing that, he also saw me clapping cheeks in the living room.
Did you ever have sex in a bedroom, whether it was alone time or with your wife?
Well, yeah, of course. But I mean, if the opportunity arises, why not?
Was there a view or something like?
I mean, what was it about this living room? You're like, man, it is go time.
Actually, the view from the window is actually pretty cool.
Okay,
but really, just because, you know, we got kids at home, we never really have the opportunity. It's always in the bedroom.
And you're like, I got no kids. Yeah. I'm walking naked. I'm punching this clown wherever the hell the moment suits me.
Absolutely. Message from my uncle is a little more disturbing. And I actually, in hindsight, I've learned a little more about my uncle than I ever cared to know. But he congratulates me on my hog.
Oh, wow. Oh, good for your uncle.
Yeah. And quick side note, impressive penis.
I don't know if that told me more about him than I ever really cared to know, but, you know.
That's flattering one way or another. Mm-hmm. Did you manage to find out exactly where the cameras were?
Yes.
All right.
After I got the message, I kind of looked around and was like, oh, I guess that's actually pretty obvious.
So how many more days did you have in Vegas after they reach out to you to let you know that they see you handling your business? How much longer were you there?
About a week. They were in Hawaii for a few days, and then it takes them, you know, a few days to get back, and then they had to drive back from LA and all that.
But okay. Well, now that you know you're on camera, and they've made this perfectly clear that you are, do you start acting different around the house? I mean, did it kind of kill the mood?
No. Something over the camera.
Okay. Speaking of dog cameras, all right.
Man,
so
on the couch though, like I've house sat for a lot of people. I don't think I ever like was just like, yeah, I'm going to catch one on the couch.
I mean, look, I might catch one on the couch.
Yeah, but
didn't
you get busted catching one on your couch in your last apartment?
I did.
Yeah, but that's your apartment.
Correct. And it was just
a little different.
Did you make eye contact with the people?
No. I could hear them out there. It was one of those things, right? Like, you know, it was a ground floor. So, like, the window was kind of above my couch.
Yeah.
So I didn't clean those windows and stuff that often. But I had taken the blinds up, and when I put them down, it's like, I forget, like one way you turn them, basically, if you're on the ground, you can kind of see down in there. I didn't really think about it. I thought I had them closed the correct way, but I could hear them talking.
So they could see down. You just
right, so they
see
must
it.
Have just glanced over, and I was just sitting there going to town on myself on the couch. Right, and my couch that sectional used to back up. Like right underneath that window. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I would be sitting right in the right spot where you could see me.
Now, are you butt-ass naked or just pants open?
Just pants open.
Okay. I feel better. Not that it matters. You know, however you want to masturbate. Some people, they need all kinds of tools. I need lotion, a towel, this, that, and the other. But it's something about just being butt naked just to masturbate. Where I'm like, bro, if you didn't just plan on getting in the shower, you didn't just get out, that just seems weird to me.
That's the only time I think you're completely naked to me. doing that. It's like if I'm about to get in the shower.
Yeah, otherwise, like, I just need access to my penis. That is all. I do not need to be completely naked.
My wife at the time, she went out of town, like, to someplace in Oregon. But they were out in the middle of the sticks. It was, they were having a conference for some work thing. She's gone for 3 or 4 days, whatever. But her cell phone's... service sucked for the most part. And I guess they put these guys in a ballroom, you know, to do all their conferencing and whatever the hell they do. So I get a call from her and she says, hey, I need your help. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, your dog doing all right? I'm like, yeah, Chewy's fine. I mean, no big deal. She's like, well, I have the ring camera or the dog camera set up in the living room so I can monitor Chewy.
Did you know this in advance?
Well, I knew we had one and I knew, but she had the app on her phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, okay, so she texts me the app that I need to download, the name and the password, right? And she said, I just want you, while you're at work, to check in on Chewy and make sure that Chewy's doing okay. Now,
all right.
Here's another thing about this little dog camera, all right? It also had a treat stash in it.
Okay.
You press a button, this thing drops a treat out of this canister where the camera is. I'm not making this up, all right?
That's kind of awesome.
So I've got this app, all right? So I'm going to go check on Chewy. So it's like noon or whatever. I'm like, I'll check on Chewy. And there's Chewy sitting there staring directly into the camera. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So, I mean, she's staring. It's just sitting on the floor, staring dead into the camera. So you can talk on these things. I don't know if you knew that or not. You can talk through the camera on the app. So I'm like, Chewy, what's up? She starts wagging her tail. And I'm like, is this about a treat? And then she starts doing little circles, little zoomies. So I drop a treat, right? I'm like, Jesus, technology. This is insane. About 2 hours go by. I decide I'm going to check on Chewy again. She's in the same spot.
I was going to say, she's
sitting there. She's looking at the camera. It's like nothing has changed in 2 hours. Get on the microphone again. I'm like, Chewy, what are you doing? Tail starts wagging again. I'm like, do you want another treat, man? She does the circle around. 3 times a day I do this. And she was always...
But always just staring at the camera.
She was always sitting just looking at this box that was on the coffee table waiting for me to get on there and talk to her and drop her a little treat out of the container. It was the damnedest thing I've ever seen in my life.
You tell the wife, like, the dog is fine. She has not moved.
She's not doing anything. The dog's a little obsessed with the treat.
She didn't take a nap. I mean, she just sat there and stared directly. I mean, as soon as I clicked it on, it's her eyeballs peering into the lens of the camera.
How creepy is that the first time you do it? Like, Jesus,
I was like, man, it must be treat time. So I asked her, I was like, how often do you give, her a treat? I'm like, she's like, oh, whenever I'm bored or whatever. I'm like, she's just sitting there.
Right.
She hasn't left that rug in 2 days. I'm like, seriously, until I get home. I mean, I walked up the steps one day, and she's sitting there. And typically, she could hear the door open.
Right.
Knows when someone's in the house. She didn't care.
She's just staring at
that
thing.
She's just staring at this pod that distributes treats. Just like, Jesus. I mean, she's smart, but, you know.
Yeah, like
what if it gave out,
obsessive.
What if it gave out beer? You think you'd spend your weekend staring at it?
Like, every time you click it on, I'd be staring at it.
Where is the bartender? Who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
Someone talk to me.
I want a beer.
Technology, man. That's crazy.
Hello, Gerard. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
No dump button on while you're waiting in line here to listen to what people are saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're on hold, you get to hear it all.
Yeah, you can't drop the F-bomb. Yeah. That's the big one.
So, I had a girlfriend, you know, I'm 20 years old, and we had gone camping with a friend, another couple up in Wisconsin, lived in northern Illinois at the time, and we're driving back on I-90, and my buddy had a pickup truck with a canopy on it, and there was a mattress in the back. That's where he spent the weekend. And so my girlfriend and I are in the back there, and it's a hot summer day. We don't have any clothes on, and we're doing what you do when you're 20 years old. And we're driving down I-90, and out of the corner of my eye, I kind of catch something. And I look up, and it's a fire truck. And it's going about a mile an hour faster than us, so it's really slowly passing us. And in the passenger seat in the front is a guy with the window down. He's got his arm out. He's got a headset on, dark aviator glasses, and he's just, like, looking at me. He makes total eye contact, and he's talking on his little headset. And right behind that is a seat facing sideways with a guy sitting in it. And they're like 3 feet away from us, you know, they're like going right by us. And this guy is like making eye contact with me. He's got a smile on his face. And then the truck goes by all the way to the end, there's like three guys hanging off the back end, and the guy right at the corner, he's past me again, makes the eye contact, just smiles and nods his head.
I can't believe you had sex in a moving vehicle, though.
In a pickup truck in the back?
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, I mean, I mean, you're actually having sex.
I mean, you're not
sex.
Driving, why not?
I know that, but I've never had sex in a moving vehicle.
There's a mattress, there's nothing to do.
Right.
But it's a long road trip.
I understand that. I'm saying situationally, being in a moving vehicle and having sex does not happen to a lot of people.
No, yeah, it does not. Right.
I mean, I'm serious. I mean,
a lot of people have sex in cars.
You might perform an act, but you're not full-on blown in it. You know?
No.
I mean...
Well, okay, same girlfriend. I had a 78 Honda Accord and had this really long windshield that came way up almost above you. And she was feeling a little tired this day. We're on probably on 90 again. And, she was laying down with her head in my lap, and this a semi goes by. So he's looking right down in. Again, the old smile and nod of the head.
I do appreciate that everyone smiles about it.
Do you want to hear a Honda joke? I got a Honda joke for you if you want to. I was going to save it for dad jokes, but I got you one.
All right.
My girlfriend tried to make me have sex on the hood of her Honda Civic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I refused. If I'm going to have sex, it's going to be on my own accord.
All right, not bad.
All right. Yeah. There's a Honda joke.
Yeah. All right.
Scratch that one off.
That's a Honda joke.
Who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
Throw you right. Everybody smiles. We were driving up to Michigan, I think.
Yeah.
We were out on, like, Route 70 going through, like, Frederick, all these, like, you know, getting out to, like, Western Maryland up into Ohio. And same thing. There's kind of traffic. And somebody in the front seat's like, hey, man, I think the guy next to us is getting serviced.
All right.
We're like, no way. And we pull up, and we're like, yeah, he is. And he turns around, and we're all just smiling and, like, pumping our fists. And he's just kind of like, yeah.
That's why I bought a Camaro. Who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dylan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I had an eye infection several years ago, and it was so bad that I couldn't see any light for 2 days. I laid in my room, door closed, TV on in another room just so I'd have entertainment, zero light. So, I finally had to see a specialist. So, we go in. And my eye is just, it's just disgusting. And he lays down, he's like, I got to give you a steroid. I'm like, okay, a steroid. And he shows me how a steroid is going to get into my eyeball. And it is about a 6 or 7 inch long needle.
Oh.
And so I'm like, okay, well, this is not going to be fun, obviously. So he gets the way to numb up the eye, you know, he puts the little yellow stuff in there or whatever, and his... I don't know if it was an intern or secretary. She walks in, hands him the stuff, and she's like, hey, do you mind if I watch? And I'm like, sure, why not? You know, it's fine. I'm getting numbed up here. And so she disappears, and she comes back a minute or two later, and she brings in three more mid-20-year-old women all getting ready to watch me get a 7-inch needle stuffed into my eyeball. So... I don't know if you've ever had any injection into your eyeball, but I'm laying there in the chair like Clockwork Orange, got my eye propped wide open, and I'm looking at the needle, and they're all watching me. I'm looking at the needle, and I'm slowly watching it go into my eye. And he's like, you're going to feel a little bit of a pinch. And I'm like, okay. And as soon as I feel that pinch, all four of the girls' faces look like I just lost a limb. They make the most grotesque looking, like this dude just got stabbed in the eyeball type of face. And I'm in there for about 15 seconds, and he's injecting all the stuff in there. And then as he pulls it out, he's slowly pulling out the needle so it doesn't damage anything. And as I feel it tug, two of them can't even look at it. They turn their faces, and they are just absolutely disgusted by this needle that just went into my eye and came out.
How did you get that infection? Do you know how?
I've worn contacts forever, just daily, you know, popping the contacts, popping out. I've had eye infections. This one just happened to be the worst of the worst, and I couldn't even open it. It was pain. Any light, I couldn't have anything around my eyeball. I just laid in my bed for 2 days. It was brutal.
How, when they numb up your eye, how long, like, are you confident that your eyeball is numb, or do they just kind of ballpark it and decide they're going to stick the needle in there?
I mean, it's cross your fingers and, you know, make the jump. It's only a few minutes. You know, they take whatever that yellow stuff is. They do some eye drops in there. You blink a couple times. And then he's like, okay, it's going to be a few minutes, and then I'm gonna be sticking this in your eye. And I'm just like,
was that instant?
You're there for the ride.
Was that instant relief, or did it take a while for your you know, for it to heal?
It was less than a day that I could actually see out of that eye. I mean, he described it that this steroid that he was injecting into my eye was a gun to a wiffle ball fight, a wiffle ball bat fight. I mean, he said this was it. He's like, any stronger than this, then we're talking possible surgery.
Oh,
and,
Jesus.
Sure enough, by the end of the day, I could see. By the next day, I was pain-free. 2 or 3 days later, it as if it never happened, and it was the wildest thing.
Do you still wear contacts?
Yeah, so actually, I have cataracts in both my eyes at 42 years old, which is, you know, quite the record.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So my right eye, the cataract has been cleared up. My left eye, it is bad, but not bad enough for surgery. Just
no,
bad enough to
see
you have it.
Is this hereditary, or are you just unlucky?
A little of both. My mom has terrible eyes. Hope she's not listening. She had the surgery. I just, you know, contacts in and out for 30-some-odd years. Bad genetics when it comes to the eyeballs and, you know, working in the public, and, you know, you scratch your eye one too many times while handling money or whatever, and bad gets worse.
Yep.
Okay. Look, I typically they'll wait till you're in your 70s or late 60s for cataract surgery.
Yeah.
I've known a handful of people who've done it, and they say it is absolutely, and some of those guys had LASIK.
Yeah.
It is one of the most life-changing experiences as far as color, clarity, and what you don't realize that your eyes have deteriorated not only in your vision, but in the way that you view the world.
Yeah.
And when you get that thing done, man, my uncle said he almost cried. He was just like, Jesus, man.
You probably just don't remember how much you're missing.
Well, you don't know. I mean, like, apparently I needed glasses my entire life somehow. Thank you, Mom and Dad. It just never happened. And then finally I get into my late 20s, I guess. I get enough money. I didn't get the eye exam. And they're like, your eyes are crap. I'm like, okay, honestly, like, I didn't know, because you've just seen the world the way you see it. So the one thing I remember in particular was looking at a pine tree with glasses on, and just seeing the fact you actually, as most people do, see the individual needles. In my life, I had never, not without, you know, close up, but I mean, just put them on. The other thing that blew my, was the moon. You didn't see the moon your entire freaking life, but it was always, I knew what it was. It was just a hazy, big brown, big white patch in the sky. And when I put these glasses on and I looked at the moon, I'm like, you can actually see the white and the gray, and you can see crap. Like, all the things you see in pictures, and it blew my mind. Also, some people, I'm like, you're not as good looking as I thought you were.
Who or what was watching you, or who or what did you watch? 206-803-ROCK.
When I moved to this last place, before I got my TV hooked up, I just had my, like, little, I just have, like, a little, maybe 20-inch TV in my bedroom.
All right.
But I had that out in my living room. But same thing. I had to get my driving glasses. So I was sitting on my couch because I couldn't see hardly any of it.
Yeah, good times. Hello, Scotty. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hola.
So every year I go over to the Gorge for a couple shows, usually with one particular friend. And we get over there. We're setting up camp kind of later in the day, you know, so the sun's getting down low on the horizon, and I'm just hanging out in the car, listening to some music, eyes closed, and I see him and his girl go over, and they're setting the tent up. And I kick back, and I open my eyes up, and the sun's now behind their tent, backlighting it. And I don't know if you guys ever seen the first Austin Powers movie.
Yeah.
Where you know, they got the joke where he's in, I think, a hospital with the sheet, and he's behind the sheet, you know, the silhouette.
Yeah.
So it's just like that. I looked over my eyes, and there they are. There they are, going at it. You can just see this perfect silhouette of them, and I'm just like, oh, boy. So, but he comes out, and he's like, well, got that new tent inaugurated.
Were you sharing a tent with them?
No.
Okay, thank God. Own,
but I was just kicking back in the, you know, in the car, just listening to some music, getting ready to go on the show, and I opened my eyes up, and I just see that, and I just started laughing, and I thought it was the best part of the weekend.
What show was it?
Dave Matthews, man. I go every year.
All right. Also, Labor Day weekend.
Yep, Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Labor Day. Still doing it every year? Did he do it this year?
Yeah. He does it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's his thing. Like, and people follow Dave around, but like, if you're Dave Matthews, like, now you don't even have to be here. It's like a destination.
That's go to the Gorge. Super Bowl of
Of like Dave Matthews shows.
Absolutely, you get 3 nights. Who are always watching you, or who or what did you watch? We got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith from the men's room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.